Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smarts, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. While we're standing in the presence of the Lord, let's read the scripture today. This word comes from the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's the declaration of the Lamb of God. Today we're going to talk about Jesus and who he declared he was. And so the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. I did not know him, but for this reason I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." He continues on and it says, "Then John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me baptized with water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I have bore witness that he is the Son of God." Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the declaration and the revealing of who Jesus is and who Jesus was and who Jesus will be to us and is for us today. Lord, I pray that as your Holy Spirit has engulfed this sanctuary this morning, Lord, that it continues to speak truth to us, it continues to encourage us, and it brings a knowledge, a revelation knowledge only given by the Spirit of who you are and of what you want to do today. Lord, let us be open to receive everything in its entirety. God, we surrender all that we are today for all that you have for us today. We love you, we honor you, we bless you, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap as you're grabbing a seat this morning. Amen. Amen. They did a great job, didn't they, today? Were you blessed with worship? Amen. 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 I just want to continue sharing some thoughts from Scripture about Jesus and who he is and what he has for us and how connected to him our life is so different. I want to share today four of the I Am statements in the Gospel of John. I love the I Am statements because they're proclamations, they're declarations, and they point to Jesus and his unique divine identity and his purpose of who he is and what he has done and what he can do. But it also tells us what we have in him. I really believe that we need more of Jesus. I'm a firm believer. It doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual walk. You still need more of Jesus, all right? If you're a newborn babe, or maybe you're here today, you have never been to a church service or experienced, or even maybe you're watching online and this is your first time watching a church service and you don't know who Jesus even is. Well, I want to encourage you today to receive what he has for you. Or maybe you're a seasoned pro. Man, you've been in the big leagues for a long time, the big leagues of church. You got about 400 Bibles at home. You can quote 9,000 scriptures. You can tell us inside out. But let me encourage you, you still need more of Jesus. You still need more of Jesus. So it doesn't matter where on the spectrum you are of your walk with the Lord, we all need more. But let me encourage you before we start to say this. Don't let your not being seasoned hold you back from receiving, and don't let you being over-seasoned and that, hear how I say this, that spiritual arrogance of I know everything about the Word to hold you back from what God has for you, because we all need more of Jesus. Doesn't matter who we are, we need more of Jesus and need more of his Word in our lives. But we also need to be allowing him to do what he wants to do. And so we've been talking about the names of Jesus and the names of God and who they are and what they mean and what they represent. And we're going to continue that today because I believe today there's going to be a great outpouring in some lives We had some people touched this morning in our first service that was really, really powerful, and I believe that it just is going to continue to build here today. And so I want to welcome you. If you've never been here, thanks for being here and worshiping with us. We would love to connect with you. There's a card you could fill out or see someone, the worker at the Welcome Center, just to, you know, answer any questions. But you're the right place for the right time. And church family, thank you for being here, because you're at the right place for the right time for such a time as this, where God would do something. I've been praying and believing for today and all morning, and worship set a tone, didn't it? Worship set a tone. And so we're gonna just jump right in. And so the seven I am declarations of Jesus in the book of John start with the very first declaration of Jesus. It's in John chapter 6, verse 35. I read to you a little bit about who Jesus was being declared the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And so this is who he says he is. Jesus says in the 6th chapter of the 35th verse, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's not talking about physical food. He's not talking about physical thirst. He's talking about spiritual food and spiritual thirst that we all need. We need spiritual food. There's nothing wrong with physical food. Amen? Right? Nothing wrong with it. But we need spiritual food to grow. We need spiritual food to sustain us through the ups and downs of life. We need spiritual food that helps us celebrate the mountaintop experiences, but also gives us the strength to walk in the valley. We need the bread of life in us each and every day. And so the first I am statement is this one where he says, I am the bread of life. The phrase I am is the covenant name of God, Yahweh, which was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And I love how Jesus picks up with declaring who he is. I am the bread of life. I am. I am. I am. I am. There's power in that. There's authority in that. There's everything we need in that. And so the I am statement speaks of a self-sufficient existence, which is an attribute of God's presence that only he holds. And Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And bread sustains the physical, right? Physical bread sustains the physical life, doesn't it? Food sustains us. You can go 40 days. I say that to my kids sometimes, like, I'm starving. I'm like, you got about 39 and a half more days in you before you're really starving. No, I'm serious. But it sustains you. It helps us. It gives you strength. But Christ is offering something greater than that, and that's spiritual food to help you and sustain you through this thing called life. And so Jesus has just come from the mountainside where he fed 5,000 people. And I love it because he equates this statement with what just took place. And he has all these Jewish followers and these people following him. And I love that he equates the I am in that setting, because it takes them back to the Exodus, to Moses. Because immediately when he says I am, it links them to start to think about the claim of his deity, about him being the Son of God. So he's hoping to get them to stop thinking in the physical, natural realm of who he is and begin to think in the spiritual realm of who he is and what he can give them. And I declare today to you that we as a body of believers, we individually and corporately must begin to switch always thinking in the physical realm of life and start thinking about things in the spiritual realm of life. We do so much in the physical that sometimes we pull back on the spiritual. Let me encourage you to start pulling back on some of the physical and begin to function more in the spiritual realm of things. Because how many know they're so different, aren't they? They're so different, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And so he puts this out there, I am the bread of life. He is offering himself to them for more of an eternal need, more of a connection to the Father. And he's trying to get them to think about him in that spiritual realm. How do you see Jesus? How do you see him today? Do you just see him as a cute picture or on the wall at grandma's house? You know, every grandma has that one picture, right? It's usually the one where he's knocking on the door, right? You know what I mean? It's usually like in the den or in that one area. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you think of the Jesus, the cute Jesus in your kid's Bible that you read to him, the cartoon figure, always smiling, always has the robe perfect with the sandals. But who do you really see Jesus as? How do you view him? What is he to you? Is it just someone we talk about on a Sunday? Is it someone you hear about at certain holidays over other holidays? Who is Jesus to you? Is he really the bread and the substance that you need for your spiritual walk? Because the reality is, the bread is sitting there. Jesus is sitting there. And how many of you know that you can have a beautiful meal laid out before you, right? But until you partake of it, you don't experience the meal. It's just there sitting there. But until you actually physically partake of the meal and eat the physical substance, you don't know what it tastes like. You don't know what it's going to do to you. You see it. And Jesus is all around us. And he's saying, listen, I am the bread of life. I just need you to partake of me. I need you to invite me to come in. I need you to allow me to come in and do a supernatural work in you. I won't force myself. You know that natural piece of pizza is not going to jump off the plate and jump in your mouth, and then all of a sudden your mouth automatically chews and you swallow. No, you physically have to pick it up. And if you're old school and you want New York pizza, the big slices, then you got to fold it, and you got to let that grease run down your hands as you partake of that piece of pizza. We need to start pursuing Christ and partaking of him, saying, God, come in. Lord, I need the substance. I need what you have to offer me, not only for my eternity and my eternal life, but I need it for my everyday life. I need to know that I know that in you is my strength. I need to know that I know that in you is the wisdom that I need to make it through this day. Jesus is like, I am the bread of life. You know, I think of, you know, talk about how physical bread is temporary. I think of when they were wandering in the wilderness and they were complaining in the Old Testament that they were hungry and, you know, we should have stayed in slavery. At least we got food. And you know what God does? God provides manna, the physical food that they needed. But I believe what he was showing was that he has the provision needed for his people. And see, we know because of the fall in the garden, we need provision for reconciliation, for a coming back of that bonding between us and the Father. And so in the wilderness, he gives manna, but in the future, he gives Jesus for us. I love what it says. It says, come and believe. The scripture that I read says, come and believe. Jesus asking us to forsake the world, to forsake ourselves, our own selfish desires and wants. And I can say that because we're human and we're all selfish to some degree. We're all selfish to some degree. We are. We have to start admitting some of these things. You know, we are. But he's saying, listen, die to self and come follow me. Come follow me. Come believe. Jesus is asking us to forsake who we are for who he wants us to be. He's asking us to forsake our own leading and trying to figure it out, to follow him and allow him to lead us. It's an invitation by faith to accept him as that spiritual bread, as that spiritual manna that is so needed, believing that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do. And we already know the accomplishment that took place on Calvary. And so here he is, he's declaring, I am the bread of life. He says, hunger and thirst. He mentions hunger and thirst. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger and thirst. He's not talking physical hunger and thirst. He's talking about what was related in Matthew 5, 6, about blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are we thirsty to be a righteous people? Are we hungry to be a people that God has called us to be? Are we hungry for a close-knit connection to the Father? Come and believe. Come and partake of the bread of life. Where are you at today? I'm going to challenge you today. Is it warm in here, or is it just me just getting all wound up here? Is it just me? Holy cow. Man. We were having air conditioning issues this week. And so I didn't want to make it too cold, so I only had one running last night. We came in, it was like really humid in here, so we put the other one on, but then it got really cold, and then we turned it off and it got really warm, and so it's a weird day today. And so I'm just going to sweat today, just so y'all know. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to preach as hard as I can to sweat as much as I can, because then I don't have to work out today. I worked out at church. I might even just do a couple laps around the building just to get my run in too. Yelling Jesus all the way around the sanctuary. Get me an old-time Pentecostal flag, be running that thing with me. Come on now. Y'all grow up in a Pentecostal church, you know that, and flags, and, you know, we'll get it going. Whew! Are you hungry and thirsty for the bread of life? Jesus says, I am that. And he invites you to partake. He says, come, believe, take hold of. That's the first one. The second statement, he says, in John 8:12, he says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, Jesus is declaring an offering to a world that is full of darkness and lost with no hope, that he would guide them and bring light to those areas. Now, I don't know if you know this, but that's no different today than it was then. Because if you look all around us, if you read the news, if you see what's going on in the world, in our country, in our towns, in our cities, there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of lost hope, right? And the solution to that is Jesus. The solution to a lot of the problems is the body of Christ eating the bread of life and then being a reflection of light in the dark place, because darkness only leaves when light shows up. Okay, so when Jesus shows up and invades the darkness, the light dispels the darkness. And when you and I are carriers of Jesus, when you and I are carriers of the Holy Spirit, when you and I are reflectors of Jesus, when we show up in those dark areas or those dark situations and we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, all of a sudden it's not us removing the darkness, it's the God and the presence of the Spirit of God in us that begins to repel the darkness back. He's light. He guides us. He'll lead us in all areas of life. Light is one of those prominent themes in the book of John. Even in the first 14 verses in John chapter 1, prior to what I read you, it talks about the light of God and how it's so needed and how important it is and who he is. Because darkness cannot change itself. It cannot change its condition. When you leave here today after service and Pastor Dan shuts the sanctuary down, this will become very dark in here. You'll see little bits of light through the blinds. And the only way that darkness in the natural is taken care of is by all of these lights being turned on. And then all of a sudden there's an illumination. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I bring the illumination. Actually, I am the illumination that the Father has sent to dispel darkness, to lead you, to guide you in all areas of life, not just church life. We need the light of God in everyday life. Not just church life. We need it at the workplace. We need it in our homes. We need it in our relationships. And so light would come in and will come in when we allow it and we partake of it. And what happens is it begins to dispel the darkness. I think of the Israelites in the mass exodus from bondage and slavery. God led them by the pillar of fire. Let them. God will lead you and I the same way. You ever see that movie, The Ten Commandments? The original one. The 4-hour and like 39 and a half minute one. I think if you have the DVD, it has an intermission with music, and it just says intermission on the screen. Charlton Heston, I believe, was the main person in that one. That one. And if you can remember, when they began to be let out of captivity, it wasn't easy, was it? They were only able to get where they went because God led them. Because God was leading, they got to the edge of the sea. And what happened? God rolled back the sea. And he led them through it to the other side. And God does the same thing for you and I as light. He will lead us and guide us through life. He will lead and guide us through life. And Jesus is saying that when we follow him, and as he leads us as the light, our life is different. Freedom comes. Liberty comes. Advancement comes. Did you ever try walking in your house at nighttime with no lights on? How many of you have stubbed your toes before? Catch a table, and then you're like, I didn't even know that was there. Well, the reality is you haven't moved your furniture in 22 years. You knew that was there. The problem was it was dark, and you didn't see it. But if you took one of those little night lights and you plugged it in the wall, the real tiny, tiny ones, and you turn that on, all of a sudden there's an illumination in the whole room. Now you're coming to, oh, there's that table. My toes hurt. Let me walk around that. That's what Jesus does when he comes in. We walk in darkness. We walk with almost like blinders, spiritual blinders. Jesus comes in as the light and illuminates what's ahead of us and what's around us. And he'll lead us and guide us by that light. Physical light is so needed for physical life. Think about if we didn't have the light of the sun, what the earth would look like. It'd be pretty dreary, wouldn't it? It would be dreary. Think of your gardens with no sunlight. They wouldn't be growing, would they? Oh, I got a garden. I got a garden praise report. You all know I'm a gardener now, right? We harvested a zucchini this big. No joke. I don't eat zucchini, but we harvest it. I don't eat that. My kids do. My family. No, I'm good. Is there any cucumbers in there? But the reason that's growing is the sunlight. It's the rain. It's all those things that are so needed. We need the light of Jesus to grow that way. And spiritual light is so necessary for our life as believers. And so, you know, what I love about that scripture in John chapter 12, he says that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What he's saying in that is a promise that, you know, as followers, we're not going to walk all consumed with darkness and in darkness from defeat to defeat to defeat, but we're going to walk in victory. But he's also saying there's an assurance of salvation in Jesus. Because life doesn't end after we depart planet Earth. Life continues on in one of two places, and because Jesus is the light, he makes a way for eternity. And I love that. And the question, though, is this. Are you walking in the light and with the light of Jesus? Now, I don't just mean walking here at church. It's easy to walk in light here, isn't it? I mean, our worship team is awesome, no matter who's up here leading and playing. But it's easy here to engage in worship. It's easy to engage here in the light. The question is, though, at home, when you just had a fight with one of your children, can you jump in your car on your way to work and praise God in the midst of it? When you know you're about to face the person that you just don't get along with, it's just a constant headbutting at work, but you're about to walk into the office and you have a meeting with that person, can you still walk in and be a reflection of the light of Jesus? See, because we have to be a reflection of the light of Jesus. See, he's the light, right? And when he comes in, then we must be the illumination, because in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. You're to be a lamp on a hill, right? That others would see who? Not you, but Jesus in you. And so not only is he the light illuminating, but see, what I love about God is when we eat of the bread and we accept him and we become believers, Christians, we're then to take on the light of who he is to be a reflection to those around us. Are we a reflection of those around us? Because sometimes we're really good at being light here in church with our Sunday morning, God bless you, brother, I see you over there. But it ain't like that when you're out there. Let me give you a little testimony of how the Holy Spirit, a tattoo, and my wife's voice made sure that I was going to be light in a dark place. See, I was working an event for my friend who owns Cold Stone Creamery. We were selling at a soccer game in his food truck. And another food truck came in and wanted to get closer to a better spot. And I'm like, first of all, I'm like, this guy's pretty pretty gutsy trying to squeeze me out, you know what I mean? I'm like, look, he's really going to do this. And my wife, Tracy, goes, he's going to hit our truck. I'm like, he's not going to hit our truck. There's no way. All of a sudden, he hit our truck. The whole truck shook. It was super loud to the point where fans and the other workers turned around and looked back at the truck. Now I'm in the truck. Y'all know me. I'm very emotional. I'm in the truck. And I have a short sleeve shirt, so I got my Jesus tattoo, and I'm looking at that, and I'm counting, and I hear my wife's voice saying, stay calm. Stay calm. Because here's a great representation of what I am going to do. And so I get out of the truck very calmly, go over, and he starts working in his truck. I'm like, what? So I knock on the door. He's like, what? I'm like, you hit my truck. No, I didn't. My whole truck shook. And now I'm like, okay, Lord. One, two, three. Am I the only one that does that? Okay. And then he opens up the door. And as he opens up the door, he puffs up his chest. And I'm like, no, I'm thinking in my head, really? I'm 52 years old, and if I didn't have Jesus, I know I could still whip you, so stop it right now. Stop pretending you're carrying suitcases out of your food truck. I had a choice that day. I had a choice. How am I going to respond? Am I going to be a reflection? Am I going to be someone that's going to be under control? Am I going to use the right verbiage? Am I going to treat the person, even though it was his fault, with respect? Am I going to stay calm and make sure that if someone sees me and knows that, oh, wow, he handled that good? Or someone, I always tell our kids, someone knows somebody who knows somebody who knows you. And so it always gets back to what's going on. And so we just handle the situation. But we're called to be light in a dark place. In good times and in bad times. But in order to be that reflection, the light has to be in us as well. And we receive the bread of life, which also is part of him being the light of the world to lead and guide us, but also that we become a reflector of that. Number three, y'all with me? Here we go. Here. What's that? The end of the story was that someone bring me up a chair. It's story time with Pastor Tommy. It's okay to have fun in church. The end of the story was that he realized that he was totally wrong and did hit the truck because there was marks everywhere. And I turned it over to the boss. He's got to handle it now. I swear to God, that's what I did. You won't believe what happened. And then I told him, yeah. It's life. But what helps us in all circumstances is Jesus. If we allow him to, it's a big difference, you know, allowing him and not allowing him. But then Jesus says this, the third one, John 10:11 and John 10:14. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own. See, Jesus here is committing in telling us that he's willing and able and called to care and watch over us. He's the good shepherd. We learned a little bit about that a couple weeks ago. See, a shepherd is a leader of sheep, and when he's declaring this, Jesus should be the leader of our lives. He should be the one that's the head, the one who's above us, the one who cares for us and tends for us and feeds us and is in constant companionship with us, because that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd actually is a leader of the sheep, and he takes care of them. He ensures the basic needs of the flock. He makes sure all the necessities are met with care and compassion. That's who Jesus is, and that's who he says he is. And And the question is he our shepherd? See, because the shepherd will protect. The shepherd will always guide and lead, and he'll nurture the flock. That's what the job and the responsibility of a shepherd is. And God sent Jesus to be our shepherd, to watch over us, to lead us and guide us, and to tend to our basic needs and our necessities, to move with compassion and love and grace and mercy on us. Because we, as humans, we need that, right? And what I love about a shepherd is that they're so close and have such a bond with the sheep that the sheep can distinctively tell the difference between their voice and another shepherd's voice. See, a shepherd can walk into a pen that has three or four different flocks of sheep, it said, and that he can call out or whistle or sing a song or do whatever the shepherd does, and all of a sudden all his sheep hear that distinctive tone, and they'll come out amongst the rest of them and be led by him. But the key, though, is for that shepherd to have his sheep know the voice. And the only way the sheep know his voice is by spending time with the shepherd and the shepherd with the sheep. See, and that's no different with Jesus. We'll know Jesus' voice if we spend time with the Lord. We'll know the distinct difference between his voice and the voice of the world, or his voice and the voice of our imagination, or his voice and the voice of anything else other than the voice of God itself. And so that happens because of the companionship between the shepherd and the sheep. And so the question is, if he's our shepherd, how close is the companionship with Jesus himself? See, the bond was so close that just the simple voice would call, and they would know, and they would understand, and they would follow, and they would lead. See, because throughout the word, sheep are symbolically linked to people, and I don't say this in a very disrespectful manner, but sheep generally are not the brightest animals out there. They're always subject to danger. They're defenseless. They have a tendency to naturally wander, to do their own thing, to follow everyone else or the main person leading. And sometimes the main person leading isn't the shepherd. And symbolically, people are known as sheep in the word. And when I think about it, I say, wow, that was so true of my life. That I was a follower, that I would wander and get lost, that I would listen to other people's opinions and suggestions and go off and not hear the difference between their voice and the voice of God. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to go through heartache and trouble and all that other stuff. I am the shepherd. Let me lead you. Let me lead you in life, and let me lead you to eternity. Let me be the one that, you know, tends for you and cares for you and will meet your needs accordingly. Meet every need accordingly. Let me be the shepherd. He declares, I'm the shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep, they know me. I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. The question is today, is Jesus your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Do you know how much Jesus loves us? The scripture talks about, Jesus tells a story that if a shepherd had 100 sheep and one ran away, that he would leave the 99 for the one. And it's in Luke, the 15th verse. That's how much God loves you. That he will go and find you. He will go to where you're at. He wants to be a part of your life. He's the bread, he's the light, and he's the good shepherd. And then the last one today that we'll talk about is in John 10, verse 9. He says, I'm the door. I am the door. And if anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. See, there's two types of sheepfolds or pens that were used during these ancient times. There was the one that was a public sheepfold, and there was one that was a countryside sheepfold. The public one was one that was in the cities or the villages, and what happened was it would be large enough to hold several flocks of sheep. and the sheep would be put into the pen, and there was a doorkeeper whose duty was to guard the door of the sheep. That's what it was. His duty was to guard the door of the sheep during the night, and then to allow the shepherds to come in the morning and call their sheep to come out. The countryside sheep pen was a little bit different, because this is where the flocks would go during good weather. It was outside, and it was either had stone or some type of like a hedging around it, and there was no door on it. And so they would, you know, it could be like thicket, prickers or whatever. Do you ever see like in Africa when they set up something, the protection to stay overnight, and they go inside of it and so the animals don't come in? That's kind of like the way the countryside one was set, but there was no door. And what would happen is the shepherd would take the sheep and put the sheep in there. But the shepherd then would physically become the door. Because when you understand this, what their job was to protect their sheep. So they literally would sleep as the door, as Pastor Scott did on youth trips in youth ministry with us. We would have trips where we would sleep at the door. Why? Because teenagers don't make good choices all the time. That's why. And we know that. And so the best thing to do is don't allow them to put themselves in a situation where they're going to get in trouble. So sleep in the doorway like a gatekeeper. And that's what Jesus, I'm being honest, that's what a shepherd did. So he would guard the sheep so nothing would come in and steal or kill the sheep, but the sheep couldn't get out. And so I love this, because Jesus is saying that I'm the door. We know that he's leading us, but he's also telling us at the same time that he's the door. He's the way to salvation. He is a door. He's not a door. You hear me? He is the door. He's not a door. There's a big difference. See, because in the world, there's a lot of opinions, a lot of choices, a lot of things, you know, telling you there's multiple ways to get to heaven. Well, I declare to you today, according to the Word of God, the anointed, unfailable truth of God's Word, there isn't multiple ways of going to heaven. The Bible very clearly lays it out that the way to heaven is through Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It doesn't say, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent brother so-and-so, that if you donate X amount of money to his whatever he's doing, then you earn your way to heaven. It doesn't say that. It says Jesus came to bring reconciliation. It says that Jesus came to make a way when there was no other way. It says that Jesus is the Son of the living God that died on the cross for the remission of sin and the healing of the bodies. It was by the blood that was shed on the cross. It was Jesus who went to the grave and rose 3 days later. It's not a philosophy. It's not a class you can take. It's not something you can buy. You can't even work your way to heaven. Some people think we can just work our way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. It's the accepting of the bread of life. It's the partaking of Jesus. And so here he says, listen, I am the door. I am the door. I am the way. I am the way to the Father. Jesus is telling us that there's no other way. I just don't know how else to simplistically explain that. That I am the door. That salvation is through me. But the question is, have we accepted the truth of Jesus being the door? See, we know that Revelation declares that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And we saw the picture that I was talking about earlier that, you know, we have in our grandparents' house, or maybe in our house where we have Jesus. I have one that was my grandfather's that was given to my father that he gave to me that's in my home study. It's probably from like the 30s, and it's a picture of Jesus. And it's like in a garden. He's standing at a door, and he's about to knock on it. And he stands at the door, and he knocks on our heart because he wants to come in to us. He wants to come into our life. He wants us to partake of the bread of life. He wants to begin to lead and guide us as the light of the world. And then he wants us to be the reflector of who he is to those around us. And then while he's in and he's part of us and he's the light, he then wants to lead, but he wants to tend to us. He wants to care for us like a shepherd cares for a sheep. And as we've opened the door to him, he then says, because you've accepted me, I open the door to eternity for you. There is a heaven and there is a hell. All people will spend eternity after life in one of the two places. I know that may sound heavy, but if we don't talk about this, we're in trouble as the church. We have to talk about things that get uncomfortable. But Jesus makes the way for you and I to eternity. He is the doorway. He's the door. And so it's just a matter of us embracing it. It's a matter of us taking hold of who he is. So Jesus said, the first four I ams. I'm the bread of life. I have everything you need to sustain you, spiritually and physically. I am the light. I come to a dark and hopeless place to illuminate, to dispel the darkness, to bring hope to the hopeless, to lead those who would be willing to let me lead and guide you through life. In return, when I fill you with light, I want you to be a reflector to those around you. Be an example of light in those dark places. He says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I want to care for you. I want to tend to your needs. I want to watch over you. I want to have a relationship and companionship that when I speak, you know my voice. That when I speak, my voice is so clear and loud, it rises above every other voice that you may be hearing around you. That you distinctively know me. So when I call out to you, wherever you're at, you'll hear. He says, and not only am I the shepherd, but I'm also the door. I am the door to eternity. There's no other door to go through. No matter what you hear, what you read on the internet, no matter what, there's no door other than the door that Jesus talks about when he says, I am the door. I am the way to the Father. It's through me. Four declarations talking about his divine identity, his purpose, his plan. Four I ams that you and I have blessing and benefit in when we receive them. Now we could just talk about them or we can engage in them. We could talk about Jesus being the bread or we can begin to partake of the bread. We could talk about Jesus being the light or we can allow him to illuminate our path and be in our lives and illuminating where we go. And then we can become a reflector of him. We can talk about him being the good shepherd and tending to us and watching over us. Or we could take our hands off of self and our self-reliance of I got this on my own and let him begin to control and tend to us and care and lead us. And we can believe in multiple ways to heaven, but the fact of the matter is Jesus is on the door. Will we grab a hold of the doorknob and enter in? Four I ams. With purpose, life-changing purpose. Where are we at? I want you to think about that as the worship team comes up. I want you to think about that for a moment. We're gonna take a moment and we're gonna reflect on today's word. And then we're gonna pray. And we're gonna pray. I am, declares Jesus, the bread of life. I am, declares Jesus. The light. I am, declares Jesus. The shepherd. I am, declares Jesus. The door. Where are we at? Where are we at? Go ahead, guys. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? We're just going to take a few moments to worship. Let me encourage you to evaluate yourself. Evaluate your. Don't ask the person next to you where you're at or what they think. You just stand and look and pretend you're looking in a mirror. Use that wonderful thing, your imagination that God gave you. that creative force within us. And imagine standing in the mirror and you see yourself. Ask the Lord, where am I at with these? What needs to happen? What needs to change? He'll show you. Go ahead, Kristen. These next few moments can be life-changing. Press in. Press in.
Surrender our hearts and our minds to Him today.
Come and consume, God, all we are. We give You permission. Our hearts are Yours. We want You.
Come on, lift your hands up and surrender to Him.
We want You.
We're open, Jesus.
Come and consume, God, all we are. We give You permission. Our hearts are Yours. We want You. Oh.
Welcome You here, Lord.
Come and consume, God, all we are. We give You permission. Our hearts are Yours. We want You. Oh, we want You. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give You permission. Our hearts are Yours. We want You.
Oh, we want You.
Choices and decisions. Some good, beneficial, some not so good and beneficial. But I'm going to ask you today to make a decision. If you were touched, or the Lord stirred something in you about receiving Him as Lord and Savior, about partaking of the bread, about allowing Him to be the light to your path, about illuminating every part of your being, if he spoke to you about the shepherd, if he spoke to you about him wanting to tend and care for you, if he spoke to you and revealed to you about walking through that door, I want to pray for you. I want to meet you at the altar today. I want to pray over you for that. So I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to ask you to step out and make your way down to the platform. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, now for all those, I'm going to be bold, because I was there, who are sitting in the pews right now and your stomach is turning like you're on a roller coaster, I would submit to you that that's the Holy Spirit doing something in you. Don't leave today. Come, let me pray over you. Choose to step out. I'll wait a moment or two before we get into pray. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. I see your hand back there. Workers raising their hand because they can't mend their, leave their post. Anyone else? Anyone else? All of today's service was about this right here. Because every time we meet and gather, Jesus wants to touch us in some way, shape, or form. And here we are today. All of us. And the Lord may have touched you where you're at. I don't discount that because I believe he did. But he's stirring. He's been stirring for weeks. And this is more and more stirring and stirring and stirring. And so let's just stretch our hands towards our friends here up front, our family, as we pray for them. Father, I thank you for each person standing here this morning. Lord, they were able to courageously step out in front of friends and family and peers because you were stirring within them and you brought something to their attention that was so needed. Father, I pray for salvation today for our friends here. Lord, the simplicity of saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sin. I believe by faith that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross and that you rose from the grave and you sit at the right hand of the Father. They have partaken of the bread. Lord, I pray for those who are looking for guidance, for light to illuminate in those dark areas of life. Father, let the light of your Son dispel all darkness, all hopelessness, all anxiety and fear. Let that light push it back, push it back, push it back. Lord, I pray that those who are here today and they're looking to be tended for and cared for as the shepherd tends and cares for his sheep. Lord, I pray that today you begin to release the passion or the compassion and the mercy and the grace. Lord, I pray that needs would be met according to your will. I pray, Lord, that healing and wholeness returns to the bodies, to the minds, and to the spirit man. Father, as the shepherd physically cared for his sheep, Lord, I pray that you begin to spiritually tend and care for your children, your sons and daughters that have accepted you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that our ears would be open to hear with great clarity your distinctive voice above every other voice in our life, in our surroundings, wherever we may be, that God, when you step in and when you speak, that we know without a shadow of a doubt. Lord, help us to train our ears to hear you. And Lord, I thank you for salvation, that you are the door. I thank you for those who have stepped in today. They've stepped in. They've accepted the truth of you, that you are the way, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for another need in this house today. Lord, whatever your children may be going through, if there's a need, a burden, Lord, I ask that you begin to make a way. Lord, a collision of the heavens to the earth this day, a divine impact of your Holy Spirit and presence. Lord, I pray favor on your children. I pray blessings upon your children here this day. We love you and we honor you. We thank you for this time. We bless you. We celebrate that you're our life, that you're the shepherd of our life, that you're the light that illuminates and that you are the doorway. We celebrate that this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let me run back up before we take our offering, and I don't want to forget any announcements this morning. Just have a couple quick announcements for you. The first one is Mission Sunday is next week, and July is our food pantry support. And so, hard to believe, but the food bank is running low, I guess, on canned vegetables. It's been very difficult for us to get what we need. And so every July and November, we have the congregation bring something in. And so I'm asking if you'd like to partner with us to bring in canned vegetables, as much as you want. Don't feel like you'll bring too much. You'll never bring too much food, because we want to be able to help feed our community. And so when you bring them in, you can just come down to the platform, and they'll be on both sides. You can put them there. So canned vegetables would be great this July. We normally do toiletries, but we're really low on the canned goods. And so that's next Sunday is our Mission Sunday. The second thing is men's night out. We got a men's night out coming on July 28th. It's a Wednesday night at Chestnut Ridge. I spoke with Mark this morning. He asked you to, men, if you're going to do it, to stop by the table, to sign up, to register, just so we can start getting the real number of people coming so we know how to handle what's going on with that. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you've never been a part of the men's group or have come out to something, this is going to be a good night. This is a few nights just to get to know one another. And, you know, I know he has a lot of things planned to do, or barbecue. And so mark it on your calendar. Just a couple hours to come out to Chestnut Ridge and just to be a part and build that relationships and those friendships that are so needed with the men. And then the last thing is just, once again, I want a reminder before we get too close to it. Mark your calendars for August 15th for our church picnic. It's all there, service and everything. We're going to do service outside. So we're going to pray that the rain stops. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? The rain stops, and it's sunny, and we won't pray for it to be 90. We'll pray for it to be 85 that day and sunny. We have a great barbecue. We'll have activities. We'll have the Sunday school for the kids. We won't have the nursery, though, because it's just a different setup there. But we will have our normal Sunday school classes for them while they're there. And then we'll have some activities that we're working on to set some things up with that. So you can just come to church and leave, or you can come to church and spend the afternoon with us at the picnic. We'll provide all the hot dogs and the water and stuff like that. We just ask you to bring your side dish and any desserts that you may want to share or just have for your family. And so that's our three announcements. And so we're going to conclude today's service with the taking of our offering. And I just want to thank you once again for being here. Take hold of what God spoke to you today, and you know, let it begin to marinate in your spirit, man, those seeds that were sown today. All right? Let's pray for our offering. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to gather, to worship, to hear a word, to receive what you have for us. And God, now we conclude our service with an attitude of being grateful for all that you've given us. And that's by giving of our tithes and offerings. God, we come humbly before you, we come joyfully before you, and we say thank you for provision, for provision financially, provision, you know, in all areas of our lives, because we know that you are provision and you're the God of provision. And so, God, we bless you this day with the giving of our tithes and offerings. I pray a blessing and a multiplication over it. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap as we are dismissed today. And we'll see you guys next.